And it really made me start to question what I was doing and whether what I was doing was frivolous. I saw this guy had a tattoo about 3 or 4 years ago, and the tattoo said, total freedom equals total discipline. Mm-hmm. And I've only just figured out what that means. What is happening is that so many people, and I speak to people all the time that I call purpose refugees, yeah. People who are exceptionally talented, who are making lots of money, have a nice title, but their soul is empty. And they're like, what am I doing this for? I try to say no once a day. Yeah. This is something I've just picked up, you know, and it's ordinary people who chose to do extraordinary things, yeah. Right? Nobody was born with a superpower or $100 billion. They were like, I see a problem in the world, I'm going to try and fix it. Sometimes purpose is a luxury for people to be able to get to as well, for a lot of people in this country especially. Time is more important than money. Yeah. Experiences are more important than things. And therefore, time spent on experiences, doing things you love with the people that you love, is the most important of all.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. I love meeting incredible human beings and sharing their amazing life journeys. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. 2004, this week's guest found himself in his native country, Sri Lanka. When the tsunami hit, he witnessed 35,000 of his fellow countrymen lose their life and over 900,000 left homeless. This made him question himself, his life, and his career in marketing. He quit his job in London and went on a journey to finding meaning and purpose. Now, 15 years later, he's on a mission to solve one of the biggest problems facing companies and individuals in the 21st century. How to find purpose and meaning in the work they do and to unlock the enormous power of business to do good in the world. He's the co-author of Good is the New Cool, Market Like You Give a Damn, and founder of Conspiracy of Love, a think tank and idea incubator. But most importantly, he's just a really cool human being. Let's welcome Afdal Aziz.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for having me.
I'm so grateful that you're here, and I've been on you for a while now, and finally, who made this happen? Our universes align. So I'm just super grateful. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I just want to get into that moment. Can you just talk about 2004? I think it was December 26th, right?
Yeah.
Can you just walk us through? I know you were in the capital, so you were safe. Yeah. But can you just walk us through this moment in your life and how it changed how you thought about business and perspective and purpose?
Sure. Yeah. Well, at that point in my life, I was living in London. I had moved to London in my 20s. I was working in marketing. I think at that point I was working for Procter & Gamble, maybe. But I had found the thing I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the creativity in marketing, the entrepreneurship. But when I went back to Sri Lanka, which was for my brother's wedding, and woke up that morning, and it's kind of like a slow motion horror movie when you start to gradually realize that the scale and the immensity of what had happened, you know. And I am very clear to point out, I was not hurt by the actual event itself. I woke up in the capital completely safe, completely unharmed, but kind of waking up to the realization of what had happened around us, trying to do the best that we could to try and help people on the ground with food and supplies and things like that, for the camps that had sprung up. And then after a while I had to go back to London, and I had fundamentally changed, I think, you know, and I only realized later why it happened. But what happened was what we call, in this new book that we're writing, a moment of trauma. There was a moment where the universe interrupted your kind of pleasant existence and shook you into being awake, I guess, in a certain way. And it really made me start to question what I was doing and whether what I was doing was frivolous. I was making stories, I was making advertising with the end goal of selling some product, you know, and making a company some money. And over time, that didn't feel like it was enough. And so what I set out to do with my good friend and co-author, Bobby Jones, when who was also a marketer, when we started writing this book, Good is the New Cool, is to try and blend those two things together. To take the craft of what I had learned in marketing and take the discipline and the skill set, you know, and the power to make stories, but put them in service of something good. Put them towards something that could actually help people, you know, around the world and help society as well. And so that moment was really pivotal for me. It set me off on a journey that I'm still going on.
Yeah. And I mean, what I'm trying to do, I even thought about changing the name of the podcast because I'm trying to redefine the concept of success.
Yeah.
Because it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's totally okay. But we got to be honest with ourselves. Why are we doing things? Like, is this really on purpose? Is this really making me happy? And that's why I was so interested in talking to you. But the hardest thing is, like, when you're saying those things, like, I want to work from home, I want to be able to control my time, and then it pisses people off, you know, because they're like, how am I supposed to pay rent? Like, what's that? Like, how do you help those people, like,
I still pay rent.
Yeah.
I still pay rent. This is not to say there's a one-size-fits-all approach for everybody.
Yeah.
But you have to start by really figuring out what success means to you first, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a trap a lot of people fall into. Success either means I'm going to get a job in an office and work 9 to 5 and potentially be miserable, but I get a steady paycheck and I get health insurance and, you know, benefits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'm going to quit. I'm going to start my own startup and I'm going to be a startup entrepreneur. I'm going to work, you know, 100 hours a week and I'm going to, you know, raise a lot of money and have a lot of staff. And then sell my company to something else, right?
Yeah.
Neither of those two definitions of success appeal to me.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's where I was lucky to be able to have the, you know, luxury of being able to sit down and be the architect of what success meant to me. And then it hasn't been easy. There have been months where I haven't been able to, you know, pay credit card bills. Yeah. I've had some real sleepless nights.
Yeah.
A great lesson I've learned, I saw this guy had a tattoo about 3 or 4 years ago, and the tattoo said, total freedom equals total discipline.
Yeah.
And I've only just figured out what that means. That means if you want total freedom, you have to exercise total discipline in your life to achieve that freedom. A discipline beyond anything I've ever had before. So I was able to architect that and realize what was important to me. I was then able to figure out how much money I needed to be able to achieve that. And I just had a meeting with, you know, the person I work with on business affairs. And the mantra I repeat to him again and again is that I don't want to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
And redefining it that way keeps us honest and says, okay, well, this thing you could make a lot of money, but your freedom would go all the way down.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, let's not do that.
Yeah.
So it is about knowing what's important to you and being able to execute against that. I had a nap today.
Yeah.
It's Friday. I had a long week. I've been on planes. And I had 2 hours free this afternoon. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a nap.
Yeah.
I can do that.
You feel good about it, right?
I feel good about it. I don't feel guilty about it. Yeah. You know, I don't buy into this workaholic culture. You know, I feel a lot more refreshed.
Yeah.
And to me, that nap is priceless, right? It doesn't cost anything, but it's priceless to me because it represents that freedom in the middle of a day to be able to take some time and look after yourself, you know, and practice that self-care and then wake up refreshed and come here.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool. It reminds me of that. I don't know if you heard that fable, see if I can get it right, about the Mexican fisherman. There's a business guy. He's he lives in New York. He's like a broker, makes a lot of money, and he's on vacation with his family, but everything, like all the numbers, is still spinning in his head. So he wakes up super early in this beautiful village, and he walks down to the dock, and he just sits there, and it's so quiet. And then this little Mexican fisherman comes in with his little boat with this amazing tuna. He's like, wow, those are incredible. And he asks him, like, how many did you catch? I caught three. It's like, why didn't you catch more? And the fisherman explains, yeah, this is enough. I'll go and sell them now. Then I'll go home. I'll be with my family. I'll take a nap. And I hang out at the night. We go out to the village. We play some guitar. We drink some wine, have some fun. And then I wake up tomorrow morning, fish again. And the New York businessman is like, no, you're so good at this. I know what you should do. You should start fishing more so you can make more money. And once you have made more money, you'll buy a bigger boat and you'll expand to Mexico City. And all of a sudden you have this huge business, and then we'll go to Wall Street and make an IPO mm-hmm. and you'll make a lot of money. And then you can relax and sell and be in your little village.
Yeah.
So basically, you can do all this work to get where you are right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the punchline. The fisherman is like, well, I'm doing that now. Why do I have to go do all of that other stuff just to get back to enjoying what I can already do?
But don't we forget that a lot of times, that we have everything we need?
I mean, it's difficult to say everybody has everything they need, right? Yeah. This country is suffering the worst income inequality we've ever seen. So there are a lot of people out there who are struggling, who don't have that luxury of being able to take a nap. And I don't say that flippantly or lightly, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm lucky to be in this situation myself.
Yeah.
I think that you do need to have that struggle. I think, you know, in the beginning sometimes it's the same for everybody, where you have to figure out how to like not suck at things so people give you money so you can survive.
Yeah.
And so I think what's different though is if you do make it to, you, I don't know, your 30s or your 40s, and you say you're a white collar worker, right? What is happening is that so many people, and I speak to people all the time that I call purpose refugees, people who are exceptionally talented, who are making lots of money, have a nice title, but their soul is empty. And they're like, what am I doing this for? And my job is to help them figure out how to fill that thing in their soul, but do so in a way that is useful and, helpful to their company, right? And that's where the two halves of what I do link together. I believe that corporations are the greatest force for good on the planet. If the people inside those corporations can lead them towards doing that. The way to lead those people, for those people to lead those corporations, is to light a fire inside of themselves, right? And so my job is to light those fires, is to inspire them to take action, but then also show them the model and say, here's how you can do it. You know, that's what we do with Conspiracy of Love, the social impact consultancy.
Yeah.
So the two things are very interrelated. If I can give people meaning and purpose in their jobs, then through those corporations, they can help lots of people around the world, which will hopefully lead those people to also go on that journey to find purpose and meaning as well.
Yeah, I love that. But how do you sell that to the corporations that are like the bottom line thinkers, you know?
I don't sell.
Yeah.
I don't sell to corporations. What I try and do is, first of all, be of service to them and to people inside those corporations, right?
Yeah.
I think that's why I give my time freely. This is why I come and do podcasts like this, you know, to help people who might be on their journey through things like Good is a New Cool, the book, the talks, the workshops. We have conferences. Everything is about helping people inside those companies who then can make a decision as to whether or not the company can then choose to hire me, right? But I don't think about that. I think about, how do I help this person inside the company find that purpose and meaning? And how can I be of service to them?
Yeah.
Once you get into the door, though, that's where you do need to have the right argument, right? And I talk about the modern day leader in a purpose-driven world as needing to have the brain of a CFO, yeah. right? The ability to make a business argument, a ROI case for investment, the heart of a storyteller. So that's back to marketing. How do you tell the story of something that's happening in a way that inspires people to get involved? Yeah. And the third is the soul of an activist. Yeah. You know, somebody who is just like, yeah, there's a problem in the world that needs fixing, you know? Yeah. And so when we go into these companies and advise them, this is how we help them make the case internally to say, okay, here's what we need to do. It's going to make financial sense because this is a company. It's not a philanthropy. It's not a charity. This is the story that we can really engage, you know, not just people in culture, but our own employees to get behind. And thirdly, this is the problem in the world that we're going to fix. This is the injustice. Because that you need that fire, you need that spark in order to do this work, because it is very hard work to do.
Yeah. How do we find purpose, though? I know people that are listening here right now, they're like, yeah, this all sounds good, but and I'm really not happy with what I'm doing. I thought this was the right thing, yeah. but I don't know what my purpose in life is.
Yeah. Well, this is what we do with this amazing methodology called GPS. Which was invented by my purpose coach, a guy called True Pettigrew, who's an amazing shout out to True. And he came up with this brilliantly simple methodology, which is, what do you do when you're lost? What piece of equipment do you turn on?
Yeah, the GPS.
You turn your GPS, right? So the G in this acronym stands for, what are your gifts? What are you naturally good at doing? The P is, what are your passions? What do you really care about? What is that thing inside you that you're so mad about that you want to try and fix in the world, you know? And the S is, how can you be of service with those gifts and passions? And this methodology, I think, is a really quick way for people to get in touch with what's important to them as well. We've turned it into workshops where we go and do them with companies like Microsoft and Facebook and the North Face, where we're doing it with 100 or 200 employees all at the same time, going through this exercise and learning things about themselves and sharing things about themselves with each other for the first time and showing their whole selves at work. And then that creates what we call the purpose flywheel. Employees are engaged and then go and take action and be innovative and, you know, and work with enthusiasm and optimism, which helps the company make more money, which means there's more money that can be put in the company helping other people to do more good. Yeah. And then you have this amazing, positive, virtuous cycle going as well. So that's why we're doing GPS, not just as workshops. We're going to turn it into a book as well, so people can do it in a self-guided way. Because it is the thing that can help bridge that gap between people and corporations.
Yeah.
You know, helping light them up and then them leading to, you know, helping the corporations themselves light up as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Aftal, I want to ask you about something personal. And I know we talked about 2004. Is there any other moment in your life when you had some trauma that like changed the way you thought about life?
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody has trauma going on, right? A lot of people have it at different times in their life. I've had things happen in childhood with health issues, with Sri Lanka, you know. There have been, you know, many moments when things have gotten bad.
Yeah.
I think that resiliency that you build is what keeps us going. And I think it's also what lessons you draw from it that can keep you going, right? One particular incident which I've talked about was quite recently. So that we're in Los Angeles. I live in Venice Beach, which is about 20 minutes that way. I live in a lovely little house in a lovely little street, very kind of idyllic. And we, one night, my wife and I were woken up by this loud, like, pop, pop, crash. And we thought somebody was trying to break into the house. It turned out that there was a bullet that had entered the front of our house. Had that bullet kept going, it would have gone into our bed. Had it been 6 foot to the left, it would have gone into our son's bed. And we never found out who did it. We never found out why it happened, you know. And to me, it was something which, you know, when people say we've dodged a bullet, like, we literally dodged a bullet, like, for real. it was a even more powerful message to say, don't stop what you're doing. Yeah. You know, I see that bullet almost as like, now I realize for me, it was like a symbol of everything that's fucked up in America right now.
Yeah.
All that rage and toxicity and hate. I don't know why that person fired a gun, but the reason that they had a gun and that they were using it like that was because of some pain that they were going through. And so to me, that's why we need to all fight to help make things better. Because that bullet didn't care if I was Republican or Democrat, didn't care what my politics were, if I was black, white, straight, gay, anything. Yeah. It could happen to any of our houses in any of our streets.
Yeah.
So unless we take responsibility for the communities and neighborhoods and countries that we are part of to help make them better, there are only going to be more bullets.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, that was an even more powerful wake-up call that I needed to continue with the work that I was doing and do it with, like, just renewed determination.
I love that. And what do you want to say to people who come in a similar situation, but they don't keep going, they stop instead? What advice do you have to them?
Well, look, there are lots of reasons people might have to stop, right, that are outside of their control. Money, health, time, whatever that is. So I don't judge anybody who can't do it, right? I think we have to be compassionate, you know, and understanding that sometimes purpose is a luxury for people to be able to get to as well, for a lot of people in this country especially. I think that for those who do have the financial resources, the, you know, the potential, the talent, but who are stuck in something where they're like, this is not the best me.
Yeah.
I think for those people who are in a position to be able to do it, I would say that what lies ahead of you is the most remarkable journey you'll take on your life. Yeah. You know, and there's a wonderful book I'd recommend, David Brooks, The Second Mountain. A fantastic book, and here's a very simple thesis that we get trained all our lives to climb the first mountain, which is the mountain of success, that, you know, as defined by, you know, money, fame, power, glory. But a lot of people get to the top of that first mountain and go, this is the view from this mountain? Like, I don't like it. This isn't what I was supposed to be getting. And they decide to climb a second mountain, which is, that mountain is about purpose and service and impact and leaving the world better around you, whether that's with your family, your community, your neighborhood, your city, your country, your planet, whatever that is.
Mm.
That mountain, and I'm in the foothills of that mountain, is so much better as a mountain to climb, and is much more gratifying and fulfilling and meaningful. And so that's what I say to those people who are lucky enough to be able to make that jump.
Yeah.
Find your second mountain and figure out what that is, because it's the greatest journey you'll ever take.
Yeah, I love that. And do you think it seems like the people that making the biggest impact are the ones that first they climb the wrong mountain, then they climb the second one. Like, do you need to climb the first mountain in order to go to the second, or can you just go to the second right away?
I think a lot of people, especially younger people in their 20s, are deciding to just go to the second mountain, right? They're like, I don't want to repeat the mistakes my parents did, where they worked in a job for 40 years that they hated to put money into a 401k, which disappeared in the 2008 financial crisis, or put money in a house, which disappeared.
Yeah.
They're like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
And so let me go and find a second mountain life, which may not pay as much money, but will give me that deep sense of satisfaction, right? And so a lot of people are choosing to skip past that and go straight to mountain number two. Having said that, I'll say the lessons you learn on mountain number one are still valuable.
Yeah.
They're useful lessons, right? All the things I learned over 20 years of being a marketer at these major multinational companies gave me a tremendous skill set that I still use to this day.
And you understand that side of the coin as well, right?
I get it. I've sat in those shoes. I've been in those meetings. I've made the pitches to CEOs and CFOs. Yeah. Like, I understand that world.
Yeah.
So that is super useful as I climb the second mountain as well. So I'm always grateful for that.
Yeah.
It's if you put it to good use, you'll never waste what happened on the first mountain.
No, I think you're right. And I mean, that's part of like going on an adventure. Like, it's called life. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's still worth the journey, right? That's kind of exciting. If we would have known everything, like, yeah. It's not that fun.
Yeah. The way I kind of sum everything up, I like to boil things down to like, you know, equations.
Yeah.
This is my equation. This is how I kind of approach life. Time is more important than money.
Yeah.
Experiences are more important than things. And therefore, time spent on experiences, doing things you love with the people that you love, is the most important of all. So if you can sculpt your life into focusing on those and giving up those things which don't mean that much, then that's the adventure. That's really where you're like, okay, I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, I love that. I have one last question to you, Aftal, and we are all about sharing journeys and stories, but at the end of the day, I want the listeners to take action towards their dreams. So what would be the first step they can do right after this podcast to get a little bit closer to their purpose?
I think I'll go back to GPS, right?
Yeah.
So make a list of what are your gifts? What are you naturally good at? What are your superpowers?
Yeah.
What are your passions? Think of yourself as a citizen, right? Think, what are the causes and issues in the world, whether it's a local level or a national level, that you really care about? Make a list of those. And then finally, make a list of people that you can be of service to. That could be people in your company or your neighborhood or your city. But the service bit is super important, because purpose is not about you. It's about something bigger than you, you know? And put those two things together and then follow your curiosity to see where that takes you. And keep going on that journey, because it will take you to places that will surprise you.
Yeah. That's awesome. Aftal, I'm super grateful that we did this. It's been more than an hour. It's gone so fast. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience?
No, thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you. And if they want to learn more about you, where can they find more about your book? Obviously, we're going to put the links here, but
yeah,
if you have any...
LinkedIn is probably the best way to reach out to me.
Yeah.
There is also goodisanewcool.org for the book, afterlaziz.com for my speaking, and then conspiracyoflove.co for the consultancy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks,
and thanks. And I want to thank you that spend the time with us in this day and age where a lot of people have an attention span like a goldfish. We're grateful that you're here till the end and that you're about improving yourself so you can serve better in this world. So if you want to help us on this mission of helping more people, please share this with someone that you think would love this conversation. If you like more conversations, go to ilovesuccess.co. I share a couple of free chapters of my book. And also there's hundreds of these amazing conversations. This is episode 144. Like, when I started my first episode, I didn't know what I was doing. I've learned, I've improved, and I'm still learning, I'm still improving, so I can share more and give you as many tools as I possibly can. So thank you so much, and talk soon.